Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have Dr. Kyle Bilquist joining me, aka my husband, my favorite person. And I don't know, I felt like it was time to bring him back and for us to just maybe do a little life update, chat about some things that are working and not working, and give you guys some perspective into what it's like to be behind the scenes in our life, and also what it's like building several practices with different models, different ideal clients, and different leaders at the head of that, because our leadership is very different as well. So I was thinking that we could kick it off by just bringing you behind the scenes also as we're parenting Jethro as a toddler and running this empire and what we're trying to accomplish and how hard that is at times, because we were chatting before about how much we used to think we had limited time prior to having kids, and how much of that was a lie that we were telling ourselves. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I don't have enough time, but you don't have kids yet, it gets worse. I just want to be honest, but also use that to your advantage. Like, use that over your competition, honestly. Use that to hustle, use that to bust your ass so that you can build an easier life once you have children. And also just like what that has looked like for us.
I mean, it's crazy how fast it changes, because when you first have the baby, it's kind of easy, right? Because he's not crawling around. He's not trying to climb up and touch hot stoves. He's not trying to stick his hand in a fireplace.
Yep.
So, you know, you're kind of lulled into this false sense of, oh, okay,
I can still get a lot done.
This is going to be awesome. I mean, maybe I'm a little sleep deprived, but like I could still have my days. And then he becomes a toddler. He starts to crawl, starts to run, and now he's starting to speak. I mean, it's awesome to watch, and it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from a business standpoint,
it's crazy.
What would you say?
Yeah.
We've had to get really, really, really organized with our time.
For sure.
And communicating as a family, like, okay, if I want to get a workout in, I got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and get it done. Otherwise,
it might not happen.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
Right.
That's one of our focuses, really, the last 3 to 4 months has been like, how much more dialed in can we get our schedules? And so that looks like Kyle going to CrossFit at 5 a.m. It looks like me waking up at 5 and starting to get a head start on my workday. And then, you know, Jet is an early riser, so he wakes up at 6:15, and then we have family time from that until he goes to his little preschool at 9. And really, that our whole morning is dedicated to just being a family, making breakfast, preparing his lunch, chatting, playing with him, reading books, and that sort of thing. And we love it, and it's amazing. But with that, on the weekends, we used to be able to get so much work done. And so if you're an entrepreneur, you know that there's really no days off. You can program and plan ahead for rest. But for us, you know, on a general weekend, we're typically working on something. And it was much easier to do when he was a baby. We recently had the realization that, oh my gosh, we're shit entrepreneurs on the weekends, but we are amazing parents.
Yeah. Well, we just made that change.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because there was, I would say, about a month ago, where we were like, man, we would, you know, turn on Miss Rachel or something and then jump on our computers or have conversations about the business. And then we kind of checked ourselves, which I think that's an important point, right? To bring up, like, we're not perfect parents. This is our first time we've done it, right? You know, but then we noticed, okay, well, this is a weekend. We should really be spending time with our child and not just putting him in front of a
TV screen
or a device, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, at times we do that. But
at times you have
for
to.
Like a 4-hour clip is kind of a... You know,
I don't know that we ever did 4 hours.
Not 4 hours, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. And we just realized we're not being the best parents that we can be, or how we envisioned we would be. You know, we're really letting work kind of consume us both.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing good about us, is I think we call ourselves and each other out on our shit when we're not living up to the standard that we have set for ourselves.
That's one of our most important attributes, I think, as a couple, is because we'll be ultra critical on ourselves sometimes, which, I mean, you don't want to be ultra critical on yourself, but it's a good thing to have, especially when you have the family dynamic that we have, because mm-hmm. if we are saying like, okay, well, we need to change this, being ultra critical on yourself is good, because then even if you change it a little bit,
it's going to improve
the situation, yeah. right?
Yeah. And so for us, that looked like just cutting out some screen time in the evenings in the name of getting more work done. We're like, oh, let's just watch this quick little episode. And, you know, we've seen a change in Jet too, because he just feels that we're more present too, I think, which has been nice.
He'll call us out on our shit.
Yeah. I'm like, Mama, no phone.
He'll be like, Mama, no phone. Mama, no computer. I'm like, damn, dude, already? You're like 2 years.
Yeah. So he is growing up talking just as much shit as both of his parents.
Yeah. He got that vibe.
And then one of the other things that I thought we could talk about is a little bit about what's working and not working behind the scenes in our businesses, because I feel like that would be beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, well, since we talked last time, everybody knows I'm in the insurance-based model. Steph's more in the cash-based model. So Steph has, you know, way more salesmanship in the office, whereas, you know, the insurance-based model, it's a lower barrier to entry, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what hasn't worked in my office is I said, okay, I woke up one day and said, let's throw some cash-based things into the mix here. You
cash-based
know,
like services.
Shockwave, laser therapies, those sorts of things. And me being me, I just kind of threw it into the clinic and was like, okay, guys, start selling these, and then took a backseat to it. Initially, I'm fixing all this now, but, you know, we're transparent on the podcast, right? So I figured I'll tell you my L's.
And that is also one of the reasons that we have separate practices, because we do things very differently and it works in our favor for each of us, but it wouldn't work under the same clinic, I don't think. And we realized that early on in our relationship. It's one of the reasons why we didn't go into practice together, is because we're like, we're such different leaders. We're such different people. We make a really great power couple together, but under one roof would have caused a little bit of chaos. And so I think it's good to know that. But yeah, you essentially just realized like, wow, I needed to do more training and more processes and systems behind actually launching this cash-based service.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I realized it. I would say you realized it and coached me in kind of the right direction.
I encouraged
me. But I need to kind of talk a little bit more just about that dynamic. You know, something that's so clear to you sometimes isn't as clear to me. So in this dynamic, I mean, and that could be detrimental, I would think, in a relationship too. Because if you were telling me to do something and I'm just like, you know, go F yourself. Like if I had that pride about myself, then you know, I might not take it the right way. But when you did tell me like, well, yeah, you can't just drop the unit in there and not give them training on it, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that actually makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than being like, you know, whatever, Steph, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. It's cool that our dynamics kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because it can be your greatest asset or it can be a downfall in the relationship, I feel like.
But I think one of the things too, just like holding ourselves to higher standards, is we know when one of us approaches a conversation or a topic, and typically it's business related, when we're having these types of conversations, is I'm coming at it like, what's best for the family? You know, he comes at conversations like that too. What's best for the family? What's going to get our family to where we want to be? Even that conversation, it was like, okay, well, Kyle, I don't even know how much the unit was, because again, I didn't purchase it, but what, 40K?
No, the shockwaves were cheaper than that, but the laser.
The laser. So the laser was like 40, 45K. And it's like, okay, we're paying for this unit. We need to see our ROI on that. What's that going to look like? How are we going to get there? And so instead of him being like, oh, Steph's attacking me, it was like, no, we actually do need to implement a better plan. And I think that's what we're really good at. I was also laughing because when I first started my practice, because Kyle and I are in such different models, he has massage therapists that he pays an hourly fee to work on his patients. And I was like, wow, massage is just crushing it in your practice and your patients love it. I should just do it in mine. And he was like, yeah, I think it's going to be great. And needless to say, I have a way different model. I mean, not even like ideal clients, but my appointment times are way different. They're scheduled differently than his, that is a multidisciplinary practice. And so it just caused so much chaos in my practice. And now looking back, I think it was like my first year that we did it. I was like, why did I ever do that?
Seemed like a great idea at the time.
We're like, oh, more revenue, do more. And that's one of the things I really try to encourage my clients to do too. It's like, don't do more in the name of just to do more and to be busy, or you see it working for somebody else. It doesn't mean it's going to work for you. There are so many factors at play. And so really being crystal clear on what your vision is and what you see for your practice because our visions for our practices are probably more in alignment now than they ever have been and how they aid in our life vision. But there for a while, we had very, very different practice visions.
You mean like practice visions, like Circle of Life's vision?
Yeah, versus yours. And just like your role in your practice.
Yeah.
So like, it's actually funny. And I don't know if we've ever even talked about this, but Kyle was the one, especially when we started thinking about having children, was the one that was like, you're not going to be able to do everything you're doing if you keep working in your practice every single day. Like, you can still be in your practice and like monitor team and help them and, you know, take over a lot of CEO tasks that you're working on, but you can't see patients every day like you are now and then still be able to be a mom the way that you want to be. And so you were actually the one who really encouraged me to figure out how to bring on a team to remove myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's a detriment to your patients kind of too, right? Because if you have all this different stuff going on, you're trying to manage the clinic, you're trying to do this or that, and then you're supposed to rush in there and see the patients, mm-hmm. they're not going to get your full attention either. So mm-hmm. just like anything else, you really have to be able to take care of yourself first and your family life first and your business first. And if you have that time, are you going to spend 8 hours a day in the clinic seeing patients? I mean, the math doesn't add up just from mm-hmm. you know, a time management standpoint, I would say, right?
And that's also too, like the risk that you take on being the CEO and the business owner, it takes an emotional toll, you know? Kyle and I could go into like everything that we've been through the last year and just how crazy it's been for us. But to carry that emotional toll and then to also be the one solely responsible for patient care is a lot. And I'm sure there's solo practitioners listening to this that are like, yeah, I'm doing it all now, but when you get to a point to where it's too much and you're ready to hire, you're going to realize how just taking a few things off of your plate actually opens up capacity for more.
Yeah, by the way, that's the scariest point, I would say, that we've had. Right when you're about to unplug.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, I mean...
Well, just unplug from anything that you're doing or make any big change. Like, we're talking about it now. We're getting ready to bring on a marketing director that's going to oversee all the clinics and consulting from a marketing perspective. And it's scary because we're like, this is a big investment. We just had the conversation the other day on how our household expenses essentially keep increasing. But when we say household, that means like employees that also work for all the companies as a whole, not the individual companies. And so we were like, wow, if we hire this marketing assistant, they're really going to add on another expense. But we had to catch ourselves because we were falling into that scarcity.
Yeah. And it's tax season. So, you know, everybody's
asking for QuickBooks.
And we're like, oh my God. And then we're like, hey, yeah, let's throw in another thing. But we really had to catch ourselves because we're writing out on paper, okay, childcare, accountants, what's the QuickBook people's name?
Bookkeeper?
Yeah, bookkeepers. All this stuff that's going out. And then we're like, well, we really need a marketing director. So our thought process was like, okay, maybe we should wait till after the tax season, you know, all this different stuff. But if you look at it from the sense of like how much money that person is going to bring into our lives as compared to how much money they're taking out of your lives,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going to give you a 10x ROI, maybe not a 10x, but they're going to give you a bigger ROI than they are the money going out.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing with adding on team is if you find the right people, then they should help the company continue to grow. And, you know, one thing about us, I think anytime our back is against the wall or we're considering making a big decision, a big switch, whatever it might be, like we always rise to the occasion and show up. And sometimes it's good to force your back against the wall, I think, because it Yeah. forces you to play at a bigger level. It forces you to step up. And as entrepreneurs, we sometimes have to be the ones that apply that pressure to ourselves. And so I'm really excited about this marketing director and what that's potentially going to do for our companies and how it's going to help us grow. And, you know, if we completely miss the boat and fuck it all up, like there's ways to improve it. There's plenty of lessons that we can learn from it. I know just as we have evolved as leaders and being in charge of 20, 25 plus employees now, like we've learned so much more than what we knew back when we were just starting out. And so I think leadership is a muscle that gets exercised the more that you do it. And we're constantly evolving as leaders too.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard Jeff Bezos do an interview, I want to say about a month ago, that kind of goes to the point. It's like, we make so many decisions every single day to where, you know, as entrepreneurs and like business owners, And there's two types of decisions. There's one-way doors and there's two-way doors. And like a one-way door is a decision that is just so big in your company that there's no going back. And he kind of gave the example of like launching Amazon Prime membership at like $99. He knew when he did that, he could lose a ton of people or like he could continue forward. And then there's a million two-way door decisions. And he was trying to make the point like a two-way door decision is one that shouldn't spend much time on thinking about. You should implement it, but you can always walk right back out.
You can reverse it.
You can always reverse that decision. So those one-way doors, they might come up once a year, once every 2 years, whatever it might be. You might want to change your entire practice from insurance-based to cash-based. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that.
Or let go of like a crucial team member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let go of somebody. That's exactly a one-way door. But I think we do a good job where if we're like, man, we need to open up this position or we need to have this available, making those decisions quickly on those two-way door decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just training ourselves and priming ourselves to get better at decision-making and quicker decisions, because we never want our lack of decision, so our indecisiveness, to slow our growth. And so often I see that happen to a lot of entrepreneurs. It's like, should I do this? Should I not? Should I do this? Should I not? And it's like back and forth, sometimes for months. Yeah. And it's like, do you actually know how much you have slowed your growth? And even between us, like we've said it before, I'm the one that's like, okay, let's go. Like I have a new idea and I'm like, we could just implement it right away. And Kyle's more the one that has to sit on it and think about it. And so we've done a good job of finding a happy medium of me slowing down slightly, but you also really increasing your ability to make quicker decisions.
Yeah, I would say it's a muscle that I've been training since I started, because I'm an overanalyzer. I look at something 10, 15 times before I really want to make a decision.
And think of every worst case scenario.
Every worst case scenario. And I've really trained myself to take immediate action, just because for the simple fact that I've been burned too many times where I've sat there and overanalyzed a situation, whether it be a staff member or somebody that really internally I know I have to take action on, you know, let go, whatever it might be, or a billing department or whatever it might be, something that I just sit there and ruminate on over and over and over again. And as soon as I make the change, everything gets better. And
yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh,
shit, I could have done that 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And where would I be now as compared to just ruminating on it forever? But the important thing is, if you're one of those people that do that, you can train yourself by noticing that you're making that decision and then making that decision and being like, oh man, I should have acted quicker. And then the next time actually acting quicker. And then all of a sudden you're a different person.
And I love the point of the one-way or two-way doors, because even when we had the conversation after that podcast, it was like, almost everything is a two-way door. You can make that choice and then pivot and fix it. And so if you're listening to this, I just want to encourage you to analyze your life, analyze your business, and be like, hey, how many situations are actually one door versus two doors? And if I'm slow at making decisions, who can I have in my life? Like whether it's a spouse, or maybe if you don't have a spouse, do you need a mentor? Do you need a friend? Do you need an accountability partner to help you make decisions quicker? Because it really is going to aid in your growth and also speed up the process. So thanks for joining me, babe.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, beautiful people.
We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.